And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. Verse number 4 says, And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord and wonderful Savior, we come to you, Father, this morning once again to say thank you for the blessed hope, the blessed peace. And Lord, we thank you for the blessed opportunity we have to be in your house and be in your presence and be with these people, Lord. Lord, we do know this is our hallelujah day, our great and notable day, the victorious day, Lord, that we rest in. And Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, for all that you do and everything that's been taking place so far this day. But Lord, we need your help. Lord, I ask you, Lord, Father, to preach through me, Lord, this acceptable word, this blessed word, this engrafted word which is able to save our soul. Lord, I'm just a man. I cannot preach, Lord. It takes your spirit, your power, and the working of your ways through my heart, Lord. Anoint me that fresh oil. Anoint me to preach your word and preach your message. Lord, to touch the heart of everybody here. Lord, may I say everybody needs a touch from you. Everybody needs the word that comes from you. Lord, I pray that our attention will be arrested, our focus will be centered. I pray, Lord, that the distractions of this world cannot have an influence upon what we need to hear. Lord, I pray that you bind all powers of hell and Satan, Lord God, upon everything that can happen in this sanctuary. Lord, that folks would have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. And God, most of all, that folks would respond. You're looking for the response. You're looking for the positive response. And God, I pray today that people by faith, Lord, would step out and come to you. Lord, I do know this, when we come to you, when we diligently seek you, we come to you as you are the true and living God. Lord, I know you'll reward them that are in need. Father, and above all things, glory, honor, praise be given to your high and holy name, Lord. It's in your Son's name, Christ Jesus, we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. As it was said this morning, I'll echo the sentiments that was said. This is our victorious, this is the day, this is the reason, this is the culmination of what we have. This is the reason why we are who we are. If you'll have it this way, if it wasn't for Resurrection Day, if it wasn't for the cross of Calvary, if it was not for grace, most of us wouldn't even know each other at all. No doubt there are families that are here and families that are together, but the ones that are not blood, they're not related through and by the DNA of the blood, we would not know each other. And can I say, there's no other greater day in this world that we can look upon than the day that Christ rose from the grave. It is the day that the Pharisees and the religious people hoped that they would not ever see to take place. And that's why there was a stone put in front of the grave. But before we can get to the resurrection part, we want to preach upon why there is a resurrection. And can I say, you can't have a resurrection if there was not a crucifixion that happened over 3 days and three nights prior to the raising of the Lord. Now, can I say this? Sometimes folks want to have the history lesson. I believe some folks believe in the history of the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I say, the history and the factuation of Jesus Christ is not what saves an individual. You're not saved by grace through facts. You're saved by grace through faith. Amen. It is the gift of God. And it's not by works, lest any man should boast. Can I say, most of the time you can find people who believe that Jesus Christ was real. I think Brother Eddie was telling me last night that the attendance of going to worship at a place or a building has gone down drastically across our country, but still yet a lot of people say they know who God is. And can I say, I remember as preaching it many a times, and other preachers have mentioned it too, but Jesus said that those people would come to him and say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not healed in thy name? Have we not prayed in thy name? Have we not preached in thy name? Have we not went to church in thy name? And Jesus, I know you said, preacher, he's adding to, but I'm trying to make sure you understand what it means to prophesy and cast out devils in thy name. And he looked at them and said, then I'll say to them, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. And can I say, we preached this morning what was so great about the resurrection. And we read in John chapter number 20 that when Mary was there, she was looking for the body of Jesus. And she did not know it was Jesus standing there, and she was talking with him. And she thought that he was the gardener, supposing that he was the gardener. And she said, just tell me where he is. Just tell me where you laid him. And he turned to her and said, Mary. And when Mary heard him mention her name, she knew that voice, she knew who that was, and she turned around and said, Rabboni, which being interpreted saying, Master. She knew his voice. And can I say today, I'm glad I know his voice. I'm glad I know what it's like when he calls for that gracious call for me to be saved. I'm glad I know when that gracious call comes when he lets me know that he loves me. That gracious call when he lets me know he's never left nor forsake. I'm going to get that gracious call in the time of need. He said he has not run off and he's still there. I'd like to say every time he's called, Brother Josh, it's been gracious. Sometimes it's been for chastening, but I still thank God I know his voice. They sung that song, I Know My Name Is Written There. And can I say, you can have your name written on every church roll book there is from this side of the Mississippi to the North Pole all the way down to the South Pole. But friend, your name getting wrote down in a natural book for church membership don't mean much when it comes to heaven. But it does matter if your name's been recorded in heaven. Oh, Jesus said, rejoice not if you've got spirit power over the spirits and over the devils. But he says, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. He didn't say rejoice because you can play a banjo or a guitar. He didn't say rejoice because you can play a piano or you can play some kind of instrument. He didn't say rejoice if you was smart, or rejoice because you was good looking. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad he didn't say, I wish he'd said rejoice if he was ugly, because I'd be rejoicing all day long. But he says rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Praise God today that my name's written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven? Is your name written in heaven? I mean, is your name written in heaven? Can I say, I've had the teachers call my name, put my name upon the board, got my recess taken from me. I've had the principal call my name through the intercom and said, Jason Faulkner, get yourself to the office. I've had a note sent home to my mom and dad with the name Jason Faulkner written on it. But you know what? Those things always brought consternation and brought deep depression upon my soul and heart and backside. But I'm glad one day after when the Lord comes back, he's going to call my name the second time without sin unto salvation. And I'm going home. Why? Because he knows my name. Can I say, he just didn't get up. It was how he died. May I remind everybody that he died the cruelest death you could die. Bible says in Isaiah chapter 58 or 53. In Isaiah 53, I'm reminded. Bible talks about the things that he went through. It was prophesied by that prophet. Prophesied what he was going to endure. We know the story. We all love the Christmas day. We love the holidays and Christmas spirit and all those things. We gather around in family, all those. But there was a birth of the dear Son, the only begotten. And I say this, that if it wasn't for Christmas, we would not have a resurrection day. But if it wasn't for a resurrection day, we'd all be in trouble. Can I say, he still could have been born and he still could have walked the earth and he could have just went straight to the Jews, Brother Don, and not come to the Gentiles. We all would be in trouble. But the reason why he was crucified is because he had to die. He had to bear the sins, not just for the Jews, but he was rejected of the Jews. Why? So we could be accepted in. And can I say, I thank God. You said, preacher, that's a lot of Bible to understand. You know what? I don't understand all the Bible. I understand some of the parts he's made plain, but I don't ain't going to heaven because I understand it. I'm going to heaven because I believe it. My Bible tells me that there was a report that was given. I find out right now that in our days and time, the most famous report that people want to hear about is the Mueller report. Whether or not if the president with collusion with Russia. I want them to investigate that government. They've been collusion with the banks taking my money. Somebody say amen right there. I just said, preacher, you're getting in trouble and the black Suburbans show up. What are you going to do? Take my money? They done got it already. But the famous report right now is the Mueller report. The next famous report, most important report, is the stock report. The one report they can never get right is the weather report. But I'm glad there's a report that we can read, a report we can hear about. It's been true every time it's been stated, and that's the report of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report, and who is the arm of the Lord revealed? I'm glad I'm one of them who believe the report. Some of you plan and map your vacations and want to know what the weather's about. My family's about to go on a vacation, and my wife was checking the weather, making sure they know how to dress. And can I say, about every time you try to map out a vacation, it's supposed to be sunny this day, it turns into storms. It's supposed to be warm that day, it turns into freezing. But can I say, I'm glad the report you said about Jesus Christ has been accurate, been true. Praise God, it's still true today. I find the Bible says that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted of grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. I want to pause right there and say this. Do you all not realize this? But I'm going to let you know. Here's the report. That all them sins and all them bruises and all those sorrows and all those things he had to take upon himself. His back that was stripped open with flesh. I remember I was sitting there talking with someone. We was watching one of them old Ben. I can't remember the guy that played on Gunsmoke. What's that guy's name? Matt Dillon. We was watching an old Matt Dillon movie. We sitting there watching this guy was getting whipped with a whip. And we sitting there talking. And that man was getting the fire just whipped out of him with one of those whips. He had a hold of this post. And the first thing I thought of was that whip they whipped Jesus Christ with. And that whip that they whipped Jesus Christ with, those Romans back in those days, they would take bone fragments, they would sharpen them into a hook. They would take some kind of steel and sharpen it into a hook, and they would braid it into the ends of that whip. That when they would take that whip and rake it across the back of that person, not only would the leather strap would smack into their back, but those bone fragments and those steel that was sharpened into a hook and tooth like, they would reach into that flesh, and when they would yank that whip back, it just didn't leave a whip mark. It was leaving gouges out of his flesh. I mean, he was whipped. He was beaten. He was smitten. He was looked upon. They didn't esteem him. They just thought he was a piece of flesh and a piece of trash. The Bible says in one place his visage was marred more than any other man. That means his face was so brutally ravaged with punishment and his smacking and beatings and punchings that you couldn't make out who he was. And friend, I want to tell you the reason why he went through all that was because he loved every single one of you that's sitting underneath the sound of my voice this afternoon. I say, oh, bless God. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And friend, I know it's hard sometimes to understand when somebody tells you how much they love you. But when Jesus goes that extra mile to prove how much he loves you, friend, I got to tell you, if you don't think anybody loves you today, Jesus Christ loves you. Oh, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, the last verse, he that knew no sin became sin, that we might be made in the righteousness of God. Do you know he's taking these punishments, he's taking these whippings and these beatings? He didn't do nothing wrong. He was innocent. They lied upon him. They got him on trumped up charges. And now they're beating him. And in verse number 6 it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. He was stricken, he made his grave with the wicked. That's them two thieves that his graves was with. And with the rich and in death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit yet in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Oh, can I say, I know I'm reading a lot of Bible, but I want to say this afternoon, that friends, we need to realize, saved person, we need to understand just exactly what Jesus done upon that cross. He just didn't go to the cross because some kind of factual statement, Brother Eddie, but he went to the cross for a specific reason. He went to the cross because there had to be a sacrifice, blood had to be shed. The Bible says the life source of the flesh is the blood. Oh, and by God, the blessed hope of the law of the Lord, it said under the law, most all things were purged by the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That means if there is no blood being shed, friend, there is no remission for your sin. There's no hope for your life. There's no hope for your days. There's no hope in your death. But oh, can I say this, friend? Pick up your bottom lip. Stick out your chest just a little bit. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. And there's hope for the world. He didn't stay in that position. And though he went to the cross, he didn't stay on the cross. He died, but he also got up. Bless his holy, righteous name. Can I say this afternoon that he done it all because he loved you? And friends, some folks think it's crazy and some folks don't understand. But my Bible tells me, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man one would even dare to die. Oh yes, but while God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh yes, much more being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Oh, high and holy day today, friend. We deserve to be in hell with our back broke, choking on brimstone. But Jesus loved us so much that he gave his own life's blood. He sacrificed his own life, gave up his position in glory just to come down and take upon sinful flesh. And Brother Eddie, to die for folks like you and like me. I find that report still true. You know, I've met a lot of people who laugh at you. See, ha, ha, ha. I've met a lot of people they make fun of. This one preacher's daughter, they called her granny. I make fun of Samantha sometimes and call her granny, call her grandma. I poke at her. There was this one preacher, I can't remember his name. I can't remember if it was Larry Wells or not. But his daughter, Stinnett Ballou's daughter, she dressed different than everybody else in school. She'd still wear them skirts to the dirt. She'd have that blouse up to her chin. That's how she dressed. She wanted to dress that way, Brother Jeff. They all mocked her, made fun of her. But she loved the Lord and she stuck with Jesus. She didn't care, sink or swim, live or die. She was sticking with God. And they said there was a bunch of tornadoes that was happening there. Big storms broke out that day and they was all in class. And all them people that called her granny and always mocked and made fun of her, they put all the kids in the hallway. And they said them tornadoes are coming. The teacher said, get down here, get down here, get down here. And old Stinnett Ballou's daughter, she's over here and she's knelt down. A couple of them girls got up. She said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Get down again. They said, if you don't care, miss, we'd like to sit down by granny over there and get down next to her. That way if something happens, we know that we're safe. Can I say this? It may look kind of mockery, make fun of right now. And some folks say, preacher, you always crazy for acting that way. But I'm telling you this, not only did he save me from my sin, but he saved me from this life. That when this life's over, when we sung that song, Welcome Home, it's not just a hope-so situation. I know where I'm going when I'm leaving here. Friend, do you know where you're going when you're leaving here? Do you know who paid your ticket? Do you know who died upon the cross? If he was the only one here today he needed to die for, I believe 100%, Brother Eddie, he'd die for them. Oh, nobody lived like he lived. Nobody died like he died. I mean, if he had to walk up Calvary's Hill, if he had to walk up Golgotha's Hill, and he had to take that beating, take that scourging, and take that mocking, friend, I'd say he would do it just for one individual. But friend, he's God just as much as he is man. And he was so powerful enough to lay down his own life and lay down the power of his own self that he died for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that ever was and ever will be. Amen right there. Somebody says, preacher, why you get so excited for? Well, the reason why I died was for my sin. Can I say this? Don't you dare think in your heart that you're better than anybody else. You know, one thing that bothers me is religious people think they're better than other people. I've seen people look down at folks who's in trouble. Brother Greg, I've seen people who look at themselves and pat themselves on the back and say, I'm saved and I'm going to church. Well, you know what? It could be real quick. You could be not going to church somewhere. My Bible tells me that you know you passed from death unto life because you love the brother. And can I say, I can't help who I love. I just love them all. Can I say this? I love you. I don't know where you've been, no matter what you've done. You say, preacher, you don't even know me. I don't have to know you, but I know the one who died for you. Y'all listening to me? Oh, can I say this today, that when he bore all those iniquities, think about this. He's in that place. He's in that trumped up trial. He's got Pilate standing in front of him. Now get this, Pilate's wife had a dream. And she comes to him and she said, honey, she said, had a dream about him last night. She says, whatever you do, don't have no dealings with him. Don't you have no dealings with him. Pilate been better off listening to his wife. The one time, so I could honestly say, buddy, it'd be good to listen to your wife. Somebody say amen right there. Oh, Eddie, your wife ain't here. You can get away with it. Mine's going on vacation, so I got a week to live with it. She said, don't have no dealings with him. Why? Because Pilate was about to have him crucified. I find in that verse number, chapter number 27, I was going to read chapter number 27. Jesus, they take him and they bring him up before the court. And people lies on him. Anybody ever had anybody lie on you? Oh, yeah. People lie on you all the time. Even the people you think wouldn't lie on you would lie on you. God help us. Lying all the time. The Bible says Jesus was lied upon. They found him guilty of something he didn't even do. They're trying to get him. What do? They start beating on him. Jason, after they ripped his back open with them whips and those lashes, they take that robe and put on him. They took that crown and mashed it on his head. They'd smack him, blindfold him, and smack him and say, if you be him, who's smacking you? Can I say this? He knew exactly who was smacking him. And to think at that moment he could have turned around and Rocky could have went like that with his fingers and they'd been poofed into dust. He could have batted an eye and all those men be gone, but he stood right there and took every ounce of beating. They beat on him, they smacked on him. And do whatever you want to do, but Dakota, don't you dare spit on me. Boy, they spit on our Savior. They'd reach up and grab him by the beard and yank big hunks out of his chin and out of his cheeks. Didn't care who he was. And Kenny, that was the lamb. That was the sacrificial lamb. The one that was prophesied throughout all the Old Testament. That was the lamb. We said this morning, I'll say it again. They sung a song about this little blade of grass when it was bent over, when Jesus would step by, when his feet lifted up and walked away. Jed, they said that grass blade stood up and waved and said, hey, that's him. That's him. Can I say there's nobody like him? He's the only one there is. And that was the one they was beating upon. He goes to Calvary. He doesn't struggle. He doesn't fight. He lays down his life. They took big old nails, spikes, and began to beat and pound through his flesh. They said that they tried to figure out how a person could die that way. And I know they say, experts say asphyxiation because he couldn't support his own weight to breathe. There are one sign to say that the fear, sheer, and shock of pain of that nail thrusting through all those nerve endings at once could send the heart into cardiac arrest. But he couldn't die that way. He had to hang upon the cross. Y'all still with the preacher? I was going to preach real long. I'm going to preach real short. Y'all be happy. There was a curse upon mankind. Y'all pray for me now. Every single one of us lived under a curse. We broke God's law. And if you break God's law, there is demand for payment. You might say, preacher, I've never stole, I've never robbed, I've never killed. But the Bible says if you broke any part of the law, you broke the whole law. The Bible says we were all lawbreakers. So there was a curse upon us. The Bible says in the Old Testament, the New Testament, cursed is the man that hangeth upon a tree. Jesus said, I'll go, Father, I'll go. And he hung upon that tree. Now I want to tell you this. Some folks don't understand this, but I understand it fully now. It took me about 15, 16 years to understand her. Now he paid the sin debt with his life by dying on the cross. Because every man has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody's sinned. You can look at your neighbor and say, ain't like that one. Somebody said, well, I ain't like that one. Somebody said, I didn't live my life in the nasty places like that person did. I've had people say that, but I didn't live no life like your preacher did. And I said, you know what? You ain't got to live life like me, but if you've been saved, you got saved from the same sins as I have. Don't know one thing, they're better than nobody else. The ground is level at Calvary. Sinners is who Christ Jesus come to save. And he gave up his life. He fulfilled the Old Testament law. He didn't break it. Sister Vicki, he didn't throw it away. He didn't do away with it. He fulfilled it.
Yeah.
You know why? Because none of us could produce a sacrifice for our sin. Y'all listening to me? If y'all don't know, if I need to get specific, all your adultery and all your fornicating, all your lying and stealing and cussing, somebody say amen right there. Some folks don't like when you get specific on sin, but Brother Donna thinks sometimes you got to stay specific so people know what it is. You're drinking and you're drugging and all those things. Oh, come on, preacher. Got to have a little fun. Ain't nothing going. Looking don't hurt nothing. Yeah, go talk to Eve. Find out what happens when you look at something. When you're looking at something, next thing you know, you're sniffing at something. Next thing you know, you're touching something. Next thing you know, you're guilty of something bad.
Yep.
Say amen right there. I said say amen. That'd be good. I'll whoop you before you go on vacation. He died upon that cross. But friend, he also, y'all listen to me? The Bible says that if you die in your sins where Jesus is, you cannot come. Is there a heaven to gain? Say amen.
Yes, sir.
Is there a heaven to gain?
Yes.
Is there a hell to shine?
Yes.
Jesus endured the wrath of God upon that cross. I've heard people say to me, they said, you don't think Jesus went to hell, do you? I said, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, he did. They said, when did that happen? When he went into the tomb? No. When he was on the cross. Because when that darkness covered the face of the earth, Brother Miller, that was the first time he was separated from the Father. He says, Eloi, Eloi, sabachthani, which being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Bible says he cried out and yielded up the ghost. People said, preacher, how's that hell? Well, when people go to hell, it's darkness. There's weeping and wailing. There's gnashing of teeth in a total absence of God. Can I say something to you? Mount Zion Baptist Church, and since you're under the roof, I hope you're listening. You're seeing the presence of God. Everybody here is made in the image of the Lord. Y'all hearing me? Them trees out there spoken to existence. That light out there, the S-U-N, he called it light. And the darkness he called night. We get to see the grace of God. The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Right? But the problem is when there's no more grace, there's no more presence of God. The Bible says the rich man and Lazarus, one was rich and one was poor. And when they died, the Bible says that Lazarus was carried away into the bosom of Abraham. Rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. The Bible says that he was crying out for one drop of water because of the torment that he was in. He said, I'm in torment of this flame. And people say, preacher, you ought not to preach that way on Resurrection Sunday. Friend, if you got saved, you got saved from something. If we got saved to go to sweet heaven, we got saved from an awful hell to keep from going. Somebody say amen. The Bible says that he cried out. He said, I'm in torment of this flame. He said, just send Lazarus back with just one drop of water to cool my tongue. And I see people all the time going, yeah, preacher, right. Yeah, preacher, they've been saying that for years. But you know what? All them people in hell scoff at them and mock at them. If they could come up out of hell and say one word, they'd say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That rich man said, would you please send Lazarus back then since he won't come to me? Abraham said, there's a great gulf fix. He can't come to you. Son, you're sealed and your eternity's settled. He said, will you send Lazarus back to my five brothers? I got five brothers. I don't want them to come here. I don't want them to come here. If I have to get this way to get you to understand, I want to say this. I wonder how many moms and dads, how many brothers and sisters who are in hell right now would give anything to go back and tell them, please, 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 go to church, listen to the preacher. I know he's rough, I know he's straight, but listen, would you please listen? Would you consider? Would you think about what he's preaching about? Would you believe? Would you believe? Would you believe? Ain't no unbelievers in hell. Ain't no atheists in hell. They're all believing in hell. Jesus suffered all that torment upon the cross, Vicky, so we would not have to endure it. When he paid for our sin debt, Amy, he paid for it all. They sung that song this morning. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Hey, man, ain't that right? He died upon that cross. The pain and the anguish that he suffered. The forsaking of his own Father. And then before he cried and gave up the ghost, what did he say? It is finished. It is finished. It's all done. Brother Greg, it was satisfied by the Lord. The Father says, that's it. That's what I needed. And so they took him and put him in a tomb. And can I say this? Them people, they didn't like it that Jesus said what he said. And this is what them religious people said. You know, he preached that if he goes in that tomb, he's going to get up on the third day. And the day after the preparation of the Passover or of the Sabbath day, they said what we need to do is make sure that he doesn't get out. Because if he gets out, then people's going to think he really got up from the grave. That's what all them scoffers. You know who was in with the scoffers? The religious people was in the scoffers. So you know what they did? They said, them Pharisees said, you make it sure. Pilate told the Pharisees, he said, you guys do it. I ain't doing it. You all take care of it. So they went and got a stone and they sealed it and set people to watch it. That way, ain't no way them yahoos can come and roll the stone away and steal his body. And they sealed up the stone. That way, they couldn't move the stone. But I read, and you read, the Bible said that an earthquake came by the Lord and shook the ground. And those men standing there, the Bible says they fell as dead men. Somebody says, what's that mean, preacher? I'm going to tell you this. I've seen them Benny Hinn's do that. When all them people fall down, I don't believe that. But I believe when the Lord comes by and shakes the ground, you're going to fall. I believe those men passed out dead when that rock began to shake and that earth began to quake and that great big old stone began to roll in that one direction. They probably looked around and looked for something going to go on. And guess who's perched sitting upon that stone? That angel of the Lord sitting on the stone. That way no man can take credit for it. That way they can't say man rolled the stone away. I like that song, who rolled the stone away? A man robed in white, oh, just rolled that stone away. He didn't roll that stone away so Jesus could get out. He rolled that stone away that they could look in and see that he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Somebody listen to this preacher. He died upon the cross and he said, for 3 days and three nights I'll be in the center of the earth. But on that third day I'll get up. And he got up. He's still been up. Oh, he's at the right hand of God making intercession for you and I. He lives today. Jesus Christ lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along this pilgrim way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. Can I say this today? Resurrection Day. 20 years ago, didn't know what it meant, didn't know what it was about. I don't tell people too much about my life before I got saved. I'm embarrassed of it. I've had people say, you need to share your testimony more. You need to share it more. Well, here's what I want to share about my testimony, the good part. I was in a church just something like this. Sitting in a pew, sort of like these, and a preacher was preaching about heaven, hell, and the cross, just like I am. And I sat in that pew, my heart a pounding just like this, so hard that I could see my shirt a waving. Instead of talking about what I once did, I want to tell you what he saved me for what I used to do. Now, I'm not what I'm supposed to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Amen. I still am a nobody, but I'm trying to tell anybody about a somebody who can save everybody. And that means you. He died on that cross, but he got up. The Bible said he was seen about over 500 brethren. Over 500 brethren. I hear people all the time say, that can't be true, that can't be true, that can't be true. There's more documents wrote about Jesus Christ. There's more manuscripts that's ever been written. There's more eyewitness testimonies. And the truths that have been written have spanned, and that Bible spans for over 1,400 years, and they all agree. Hallelujah goes right there, Brother Miller. Hallelujah. And can I say, Dakota, he done it all for you. Samantha, for you. Melissa, for you. Don, for you. We all could line up. For God so loved, put your name right there. For God so loved, Eddie Combs. For God so loved, Josh Storr. For God so loved, Jason Falk, that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you believe in him, you should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul said this, and I'm not trying to rain on your parade. I know y'all probably got some cuttered eggs and going to do Easter egg hunts and things like that, and kids having fun. Can I say, the worst thing you could ever do to a kid, you listening to me? The worst thing you could ever do to a kid is don't ever tell them about Jesus Christ. Christmas is a wonderful day, but there's a reason why it's here. Resurrection Day, there's a reason why it's here. And you're in church for a reason. Oh, sure, you may have come. I'm not trying to be difficult. You may have come because somebody keeps asking you to come to church. The reason why they keep asking you is because they love you. And the reason why we keep preaching the way we do is because we love you. And the reason why Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he's like this. He's waiting to hear from you. What a day it would be if resurrection day would be for you today. He died upon the cross for your sin. He got up on that third day so you could have a brand new life. Dan, you know how many people would say we don't deserve a brand new life? They'd say you don't deserve a brand. You get your slate wiped clean with God. It says he takes all your sins and he chooses not to remember them no more. Hallelujah. My mom still remembers some of my sins. I'm glad my father don't. My kids, my wife may remember, but I'm glad my Savior don't. And I may get a disease and my mind may be robbed of all of its memories. But I'm reminded it's not me who's keeping me. I'm reminded it's not based upon my memory. Sister Lois, I remember what the Bible said. That they asked the Lord, they said, Lord, will you forever forget us? He says, can a mother forget her suckling child? He said, oh yes, she can forget. But he said, I will never forget you. I've engraven you in the palm of my hand. Amen. Bless his holy and righteous name. We ask you today.